Nick,
Yes.
if you could just tell us a little bit about capital punishment and how you became involved in this movie that's based on the true story, not the lie, but the true story of what happened on January the 6th.
Well, basically, it's all Chris's fault. He talked me into going to Washington on January 6th, which I didn't really want to go, but we went, and both Chris and I sort of independently filmed some things because we got separated that day. And then, we got home and everything we saw on the news, it was like nothing like what we had actually experienced. And so as the lies sort of began to build up, we started talking to people about, hey, we were there and we've got some footage, and somebody came along and said, well, we'd like to, you want to make a movie about that day? And so we did. And that's kind of how it all came about. Of course, it wouldn't have come about, or probably would not have come about as quickly if Chris and I hadn't been there to see it for our own eyes.
Excellent. I was there that day too, Nick and Chris, and I'm so glad you put this project together. And for our listeners and our readers at Gateway Pundit and 100% Fed Up, we're also wanting people to pr we want to promote this movie. It's capitalpunishmentmovie.com, where people can sign up and download it, start the download next on Thanksgiving next week. So we want to make sure that people do that. I love this trailer that we had that you sent us. It's very powerful. I think one part that struck me is I was up front when President Trump was speaking at the Ellipse, and I ran into people I knew from high school that I hadn't seen in 40 years, right? And I have never seen a larger crowd in my life. And so part of the lie that we're being told consistently, and I'm so glad you brought this out in your trailer even, was that this crowd at the Ellipse was, I would say about 1 million people were there, and
At
then
least.
tens of thousands walked over to the Capitol. Most people left. I was one who left because for one, I was freezing. It was very cold that day. It was a pretty miserable day. And then, I was pretty disappointed with the news I was hearing from my text messages about Mike Pence. So we went to take a break. And when we went to take a break, I was supposed to speak at the Capitol. I've never mentioned this live before, but I'm supposed to speak there later on. And but of course, all hell broke loose. But I'm so glad that you mentioned that because people forget, and this is a part of the lie they push, is that we're the minority and that only, a few thousand people showed up. I have never seen a larger crowd in my life.
Yeah, I mean, we've had people, well, more than one person say 2 million, maybe 3 million, but it was millions and millions of people. I agree. I've never seen so many people.
Right. And then a large section walked over to the Capitol, and that's where you guys started, or where you part of your film, of course, is from over there. So I'm also anxious to hear what you guys had to say because the media, of course, wants, and Liz Cheney want us to think that it was just one big brawl from beginning to end and that it was the most violent act we've ever seen in the history of the United States since Pearl Harbor. So I'm really anxious to hear you guys talk about what you saw, and then, of course, what the movies that, what you want to portray in the movie.
Well, if you want to show the trailer, we can do that. I mean, one of the things that we found, I noticed on the day there that everybody there was about my age, most of the people that I saw there. So it's like an armed insurrection. What are they armed with? Like blood pressure medicine? I mean, what's going on? It's a
Knitting
bunch of
needles.
There's a bunch of people waving flags and taking selfies and singing songs, and also the thing about being at the Ellipse. The break-in at the Capitol started before Trump even finished.
Right.
It's like it wasn't the people that were there listening to Trump that were doing it. So who was it?
Right. Absolutely. Is this something you guys cover in your movie? Of course, we haven't seen the whole thing. We've looked at some of the footage and we've looked at the trailer, which we're going to show here in a couple minutes. But is that something that you guys are delving into in the movie? Who was it? Who were the violent people?
Yeah, to some degree. Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes. Well, so that was the big disconnect because we knew there were agent provocateurs there that day. We saw them. And then as our knowledge of that got bigger and we talked to more intelligence experts and to some military folks, the scope of that day, it just blew us away. And there was one point where there was a couple that was trying to get my wife, my daughter, and some other of us to attack the Capitol Police to do violence upon them. And you could just tell from her actions and from her language, she was not a MAGA person. And when we called her out, she took off along with her partner. And there was a guy that was like their quarterback that had the earpiece in here. And you could just tell it was one of the cells because there was no anti-protest. Wow. There was no BLM, Antifa counter-protest. First time in 17 years I've never seen that because they were dressed in like us. And right. I guess if you're watching the news, if you're watching any footage, the really easy way to tell generally, not to every specific person, but generally who the bad guys and the good guys were. You were down, you saw the president's speech. How many masks did you see in the crowd? All the people you saw, how many masks did you see, Jim?
None really.
Zero.
Yeah.
Look at the people that breached the Capitol. Look at the Capitol Police's own footage. Every single one of those first people coming in all had masks on. So right there is an indication of good guys, bad guys. So this woman that we saw that was pretending to be MAGA, you know, we actually have film of her changing from black block clothes into MAGA clothes. You'll see it in the movie.
You have video of that.
We went up to FBI. Yes. And afterwards, we went up to FBI guys on the ground. And I said, hey, you know, there's people, bad guys trying to get people to do bad things. We know who they are. Can we point them out to you? No. Can we give you, do you want to take a report? No, we're good. Thank you. And I tell you what, that was just a foreshadow of what was to happen in the weeks and the months to come after that.
Wow.
And as a guy whose father graduated from the 109th session in the Quantico FBI Academy at Quantico, Virginia, it's really disappointing.
And very sad. It's easy to see the difference. It's like the people that were breaking into the Capitol were wearing masks. Because they care about old people. You know, we were all out in the crowd just without we're conservatives and we don't care, you know.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of old people in the Capitol. It's very nice of those guys breaking in to wear their masks.
Yeah, amazing. Well, maybe we should.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You want to play the trailer now?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, let's go.
This is treason.
Please,
officer,
I can't breathe.
I can't even. When there's nowhere else to run, there's room for one more sun.
One more sun.
Hey, man. If you can hold on, if you can hold on.
I'm Nick Searcy. On January 6, 2021, I went to Washington, D.C., along with multitudes of other Americans, because we believed that the election was stolen. I saw with my own eyes what happened that day. And what they show you on the media doesn't tell half the story.
Here's the Capitol, and here's people going in there. They didn't show all of this out here.
I saw people of all colors, races, creeds, Asian Americans for Trump, blacks for Trump. I even saw a guy wearing a shirt that said fags for Trump. And since I'm from California, I knew that guy.
We're from Iowa.
Nashville, Tennessee.
And I'm here standing with my fellow patriots. We all standing for America.
Despite what the media tells you, boots on ground definitely say something different. There is a sea of nothing but red, white, and blue patriots.
These are damn working people right here. They want their country back.
We're marching for the Constitution. We're not. It ain't really about Trump. It's about us now. They're attacking us, and we're tired of it.
We had a foreign attack. They had domestic support.
This is about individual liberty. We don't believe the media. We don't believe you.
We'd have no faith in our institutions.
The FBI is now being sent out by Joe Biden to punish people.
We're at war.
They're hunting down Trump supporters like dogs.
Let me say that again. We're at war.
147 days since my wife was murdered and executed.
The FBI, you have a federal search warrant for the property. Come out with your
I step out, I have red dots all over my chest.
They broke the door down. Hands up, put your hands on the wall, hands up!
I was in jail for 4 straight days. I kept banging on the door saying I had never had a phone call.
The sixth was all deception.
The level of sophistication and tactic is immense.
I was paid to pretend to protest.
We need to come together as Americans again and remember why we started this country.
An insurrection without arms? What are they talking about? And why are they lying?
All right. Very powerful, guys. Very powerful. And for the listeners out there, we obviously had a much better clip and there was some glitches there, but it's exceptional. And I loved it. There's moments in that clip that really, bring up a lot of emotion. Seeing Ashley Babbitt, seeing that you have Jaden X video in there, the Antifa activist who just happened to be there when Ashley Babbitt was killed. The crowd shots, the abuse that these people are going through. It's truly amazing. So what was the most impactful part for you guys in doing this film?
Well, I'll go first. I think as we went through and started talking to people, we talked to a number of people in the film whose houses have been broken into by the FBI, and it's almost always the same story. 6 a.m., they're woken up with no warning. There's 70 or 80 officers of all branches out there, armed to the teeth, SWAT teams, armored vehicles, just this overwhelming show of force. And they bang on the door, demand that it be opened, or they break it down. Sometimes they break it down, and they basically handcuff everybody in the house. They pulled one story, they pulled this man's 13-year-old daughter out of the house and handcuffed her on the sidewalk. His wife, everybody. And these people are being treated like serial killers or drug dealers or something really, really horrendous. People that have never been arrested for anything in their lives. And so many of these people, they've just had their lives turned upside down and destroyed, you know, lost their jobs, lost their homes, lost everything. And it's basically done as a terrorization tactic. The government is trying to demonize these people and send a message to everybody else. Don't let this happen to you. If you resist us like these people did, this is what we'll do to you.
So Nick, did they ever give any explanation why they arrested or why they handcuffed the 12-year-old daughter? I mean, was she at the Capitol with him? What was the point of handcuffing the 12-year-old daughter inside the home?
No, there was no explanation for it. It's like you can't ask us any questions. You know, you do what we say. And no, it's totally a strong arm tactic. It's definitely, like I said, it is meant to intimidate.
And it's also meant to kind of identify the Trump supporters in communities too, right? The Trump supporters that were in Washington, D.C. that day. It's a way to identify them in front of their neighbors and kind of mark them as bad people, right?
Absolutely.
It's a purge.
Them and demonize.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, we talked about, we had a conversation the other day before the interview. We talked about two 70-year-old grandmothers, twin sisters, that were they arrested? Did the FBI come to their homes? Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that's part of your movie, right?
You bet. Go ahead, Chris.
So it's interesting. Thanks. It's interesting. they were the two that did, two of the ones that did go into the Capitol. Most of the people we have that got arrested never went into the Capitol, but they did do things like help the community board up small businesses when BLM was coming in to do, and Antifa were coming in to do marches. They ministered to the homeless. They offered first aid, and they also organized like organized Trump caravans and anti-mask protests. So it's interesting. They never went in the Capitol, yet they've all been arrested. And the two grandmothers, or the one grandmother and her twin sister, they went into the Capitol, and then their neighbors told on them. And it was kind of like Wehrmacht Germany, 1933. Their neighbors reported them to the FBI, and the FBI wow. down and told them that they were guilty of criminal trespassing and that they were looking at 5 years in prison and being on the domestic terrorist list.
And also,
75-year-old twin ladies, nicest ladies you've ever met in your life.
Let me just add to that. They went in the Capitol because they saw people going in and out. And when they went in the Capitol, the police were standing there up against the wall, and they said, "Is it okay if we're in here?" And the police said, "Yes."
Wow.
Wow.
A couple of pictures, and they walked out. And that's it. And the right. FBI beats down their door.
You know, Nick, there is two young men here in St. Louis where I live, and they were arrested recently. They were also, same story, walked into the Capitol. They both happened to be engineers. So these are top-notch kids who have never done anything wrong in their life, right? Very disciplined, very intelligent. They walked up to the Capitol. They said, they saw the police. They said, "Can we walk in?" The police said, "Sure, go ahead." They walked to the top of the stairs. They said to the police there, "Can we be in here?" The police said, "Sure, you're fine." And they looked around. They didn't feel comfortable. They left, and they had the FBI come banging on their door in the middle of the night for the same thing. It's really, really unbelievable. I'm so glad you guys put this together, because we're seeing a country we don't recognize, and there's not enough people who understand what is happening. So I'm just thrilled that you guys put this together to show some of this to the American public.
I mean, it's fortuitous that we were there, because I saw with my own eyes that people were standing behind the barricades. I was on the other side of the Capitol, between the Capitol and the Supreme Court building. Everybody's standing behind the barricades. Every once in a while, some guy or some person dressed in black would go up to the front of the barricade and start screaming at the police. Everybody around me would start going, "That's not us. That's not MAGA. We don't do that." And then I saw with my own eyes the Capitol Police move the barricades so that the crowd could come closer to the building. I mean, I saw them do this.
Wow.
This whole narrative that they're pushing, not to get too far out in the weeds, but I had lunch today with a fellow actor who was there, and he, same story. He told me the same story. 6 o'clock in the morning, FBI beats down his door, handcuff him, everybody in his house. And they say, "We're going to charge you with this, that, and the other thing." And he said he's never really heard from them again. And he told me, he said, "I think because I'm black, they're not going to make a big deal about arresting me, because it kills their whole white supremacist thing."
Wow.
So they've sort of left him alone because of the color of his skin doesn't fit their narrative.
That's just amazing.
And we're still wondering why Ray Epps is walking around a free man in Arizona. I don't know if you, either well, one of you were keeping up with the Ray Epps story, but is that part of any of your movie?
Oh, no. So it's interesting that you brought Ray Epps out. So America's now looking at Ray Epps, and they know something's not right. They can just feel it. You know, is he FBI? We don't know. Is he some other three-letter agency? We don't know. Who exactly is he? No one, well, the four people on this call, we don't know who he is. But however, we in America know something's wrong. We know he was an agent provocateur. And if you would have been there that day, you would have seen many, many, many Ray Epps. And you would have seen teams of people out there that the Ray Epps were coordinating. We had one fella he's in the film that he ran into a person that was very similar to Ray Epps, and they were administering first aid to a very in shape 20-some-year-old fella in decked out in tactical gear who had gotten stuff in his eye. And according to Rich, it was like a commander and one of his troops, and he was helping one of his troops, and Rich was helping him. And Rich wanted to take a picture of it. He's giving first aid. He thought it was a cool thing. And the guy reaches over and grabs his wrist in such a way, Rich drops the phone and can't pick it up. And he looks at him and he says, if you took pictures of this, there are people who would want to hurt you, and I don't want to see you get hurt. And then he goes back to his earpiece and he says, yeah, what hallway are you in? Where are you? Okay, three more down, go right. It should be in there. So that guy is a director. He's not a player. There were all sorts of characters like that day. And if you go back over the footage, you can actually pick them out. It was a day full of many, many surprises.
It's shocking that would happen in the United States. I mean, this is definitely something I wasn't familiar with. Was this a surprise to you guys, seeing that it was organized like this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was something that, kind of was revealed to us in putting together the film. And, you know, we Chris and I just went and we saw what we saw. And like I said, we didn't, you know, Chris saw more than I did in terms of, you know, seeing people that look suspicious. You know, it was just amazing as the, you know, we started sifting through this footage and talking to people, amazing to discover how much of it was an operation and how much of it had nothing to do with kind of innocent people like me and Chris and the other people that are being charged who just went there because, you know, we believe the election was stolen. We wanted to say so. That's really the only reason we went. And we had one person who in the movie who made the point, it's like, they say we were there to disrupt the certification of the election. What was happening in the Capitol at the time of the breach was what we wanted to happen. You know, the senators were in there objecting to the electorate, to the electors. And so why would we want to stop that? It wasn't us that wanted to break into the building. It was them.
Right. And it's interesting too that did stop right. And it did stop all the evidence from being presented. I mean, these right. objectors were planning on sharing evidence of voter fraud with everybody. I mean, the whole United States was about to see the evidence, and all of a sudden.
Yeah. Now after the break-in, it's like, oh, it's too dangerous. You know, all right. those bloodthirsty Trump supporters are out there. We're just gonna have to certify the election to stop them. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Why would the people that flew to Washington to see this happen want to stop it?
Right, right. Instead, we erected barbed wire around the Capitol, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the really scary thing about this is if you know history, and if you've looked at any countries where color revolutions have taken place, the Ukraine, in Egypt, in Venezuela, and they all start after a disputed election, and they all pit sides against each other. And out of the chaos, they grab power. And after the power grab, there's a purge. The most concerning thing for me, even more than the little kids with the handcuffs and the PTSD and the nightmares, is what we've seen around the world has actually just been it has just actually happened here in the United States of America. This was an orchestrated event, and it's you would never think this could happen in America, but it just did. We're living it right now.
And the sad thing is, there's a huge part of the American people that have been conditioned to accept this. Right. And you can see this by the way, you know, I'm back in Los Angeles now. I was in Tennessee and Montana for a while where I didn't see anybody wearing a mask, and I'd forgotten that masks are even a thing. And then I'm back here in LA, and it's like I go in the grocery store, I'm the only one. There's like 80 people in there with masks on, and I don't. And it's like these people out here have been conditioned to accept the narrative. Anything that the government tells them to do, they do, or they believe. So that's what's happening with January 6th. It's a monolithic. They're pushing one story over and over again. And we got a huge part of the American people that are just accepting it and believing them.
And afraid to speak out too, I think. And I'm glad that there are people like you guys out there, because you're letting the rest of us know that we're not alone and that we are the majority. And it's interesting that even despite the fact that we see 99% media coverage, or 100% even, of just slamming January 6th as the worst insurrection, the Pearl Harbor of our time, that still 53% of Americans still think the election, it was a scandal. A lot of people still believe it was stolen. Mm-hmm. I certainly do. So no matter what they say, this majority still believes like you and Patty and I that, that we were right, and that we're not going to allow these people to take over this country. But more people have to stand up like you guys just did, and understand that, you know, we have to start voicing ourselves and standing up to this totalitarian movement, which is what you said, Chris, and it's exactly correct. It's the same thing we've seen in country after country throughout history.
And which is why I think this film is so dangerous to the enemies of the United States of America, because mm-hmm. a truth is never afraid of a lie, but a lie cannot stand up in the light of truth. And that's where we are right now. I believe it was, I could be wrong, I think it was Joseph Goebbels that said, if you repeat a lie big enough and long enough, it eventually becomes the truth. Well, this is just like destroying our history, so we're doomed to repeat it. If they can capture this day and rewrite the history of that day, they own the narrative and they own the country.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jason Whitlock, who is with the Blaze now, he's a black, actually sports analyst. Yeah. He came out and he said on Mark Levin's show that if you get people to believe absurdities like the January 6th narrative, if they believe this absurdity, then you can commit atrocities. And the atrocity here is that there's still dozens of people locked up in isolation mm-hmm. for misdemeanors in prison, or for this trying to shut down official proceedings, right? That's the big felony that they're throwing at these people. I know you guys talked to some families who've been persecuted. At the Gateway Pundit, we started a website, a sister website, American Gulag, where we're actually tracking some of the updates on these political prisoners. But you spoke with a lot of these people for the movie. Can you tell us anything about that, or besides that it's just heart-wrenching? Or,
well, yeah, I mean, the atrocities have begun. I mean, the trampling of these people's rights and the way they're being treated, you know, it's already happening, and they're doing it on purpose. They're doing it to send mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to make sure that nobody ever does this again. And by this, I mean protests against an election that they think was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
You're
unbelievable.
Not allowed to say that. That's mm-hmm. misinformation, and you can go to jail for that. You know, that's the message they're trying to send. And just to hear when you meet these people in the movie, these are very, very impressive, endearing, decent, normal Americans. These are not monsters. These are not activists. You know, they aren't like BLM and Antifa. They're not professional mm-hmm. protesters. They're like guys who own, a convenience store that said, I got to go to Washington because I want to make my voice heard. Those are the people that they hate. The BLM activists and all the people that burned America down all last year, most of their charges were dropped and nothing ever happened to them. They're ramming this down everybody's throat, keeping so many of them in jail, you know, postponing their court dates over and over again in order to bankrupt them and destroy their lives. And most of them have court-appointed attorneys that are actually working for the government.
Right.
Trying to get them to accept a plea deal or a felony so that, you know, they say you'll only do 6 months in jail, but you won't be able to vote or own a firearm. But still, you know, and so that's what they're trying to do to these people. You know, basically neutralize them and destroy their lives and make them unable to participate in the political process ever again.
And I think it's important to mention that a lot of these people, they're being told to disavow Trump as part of their plea deal. You know, they're either they have to admit that they were crazy or they were mistaken or they had poor judgment in supporting President Trump or they never should have believed the lies that the election was stolen. I mean, these people, you know, that's part of the condition of them being released is that they denounced President Trump and any support for him. And I mean, that just that's enough right there that should make every American sick to their stomach.
That's like North Korea. You know, that's like, why did you say mean things about Kim Jong Il? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Things you said and murdered your family. I mean, that's really
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, struggle sessions.
Yeah, and the reality of what they're doing to these folks, let's just take one person that's in the film. Otero County Commissioner in New Mexico, Coy Griffin. He gets thrown in jail for praying at the Capitol. The first 9 days in prison, he doesn't get a phone call to his family. He doesn't get a phone call to his lawyer. While he's sitting there wiping off bugs off his cot, he puts his bologna sandwich down, turns around, and his bologna sandwich is covered in bugs. These are the kind of stories I heard when I was on the ground in Central America for political prisoners. And it's happening here in the United States of America.
Oh.
It's insane.
In our capital.
And it's deliberate. It's not an accident. They're deliberately torturing these people to send a message.
Now, do you cover any of the political prisoners, any of the people that have been released, or are these the people that you cover in your film just people that have stories to tell about what happened to them that day?
Well, a lot of them were in jail for a period of time, you know, until they got out.
Okay.
And, you know, after their arrest and they have a court date, a lot of times they have let people out, but only certain people, you know. I don't know why they're holding the people that they're holding. And then it turns out that Jacob Shanley today, he got
right.
41 months. I mean,
outrageous.
That poor kid was walked into the chamber with a police escort.
Right. and there's video of him. There's actual video of him asking the police, can we be in here? And then he said, if you don't disrupt it, you know, if you don't break anything, if you're, you know, act like civil human beings, you can be in here.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
I mean, it's deliberate political persecution.
Yeah, it truly is. Frightening. You guys offer hope in this movie, I'm wondering.
No.
What's the hope here?
Heck yeah. We're going to win.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It, why do you think they don't want anybody to see this movie?
Great.
This movie shows you how to win this war. This is... We don't win this war with muskets and AR-15s. We win this by standing up, speaking the truth, and saying, you don't scare me. I'm not going to bow down in fear. You can take your mask. You can take your political persecution. You knock me down. I got somebody that's going to take my place. I got 2-3 more that are going to take my place. That's how we win this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it you always say, Nick? They're lying to us. We know they're lying to us. They know that we know that they're lying to us, and they keep lying to us anyway. Well, we need to stand up and say, no, we need the truth, and we need it now.
Yeah, there's one of the great men in the movie, Tony Martinez. I was talking to him the other day after the first screening of the film, and he said to me, and it broke my heart, but it gave me courage. He said, you know, I'm not a hero. I don't argue with people that call me that or that say that I'm a hero. He said, I'm just trying to be obedient. I'm just trying to be obedient to God and what God is telling me to do. And that makes him fearless. That's what makes him not afraid.
Wow.
And that's what I think has to happen. You know, we all have to accept this, adopt this attitude that we're going to be happy warriors and we're going to be obedient. That doesn't mean violent. That doesn't mean, you know, we're going to become insurrectionists. It just means,
or Antifa.
Yeah, we're going to stand up and say what we believe, and we're not going to let them intimidate us into silence.
Amen.
Yeah,
very powerful.
Yeah, I think it is important. Movies like this are really important, even for people that are, I was contacted by a woman recently, and I live in Michigan, who was contacted by her friend who's been, she was with her at the Capitol, and they were on near the steps. They weren't even on the steps of the Capitol. And they were in this new imaginary circle that our government has drawn of people that are guilty of the insurrection, because they were in this new imaginary circle they've drawn around the Capitol that Jim and I, you know, we laugh about all the time. Like, where did this imaginary circle come from? Where these people were not allowed to stand all of a sudden. And this woman is getting ready to adopt a baby from a foreign country, and she's being threatened by the FBI now and doesn't know if she'll be able to, if her adoption will go through. And this is just somebody who just happened to be standing there. You know, the barricades were down when they walked up. And, you know, this is what's happening to every day. This is a housewife, stay-at-home mom who just happened to go because she also believed that the election was stolen and she wanted to show her support for President Trump. And so here she is now in fear of not being able to adopt a baby because, you know, she happened to be in that imaginary new circle that they've drawn.
Well, I wish we'd
had her. That's simply evil. My wife, a few days ago, took a phone call from a neighbor that she knew, that she barely even knew. We never knew that that she was at the Capitol. She was at the Capitol, did not go in the building, and the FBI showed up at her door and was there for 4 hours. The woman has PTSD. She's lost weight. She can't sleep. And it can happen to anyone, anywhere, anytime. And then you have Nancy Pelosi saying that she wants to put Capitol Police departments in Florida and California and all around the rest of the world because there's 2 million people that they still don't know who they are yet, but they're going to find them. Wow. That's Wehrmacht Germany, 1933. That's right. That's getting rid of the local police.
What a wicked, evil woman. That's just, it's just unbelievable what she's getting away with. Outrageous. And
when we were trying to name the movie, I was sort of like jokingly, my favorite title that I came up with was Real Housewives of the Insurrection. But like, the more you think about it, that's really what is happening. They're taking these people that are really, you know, 74-year-old grandmoms, you know, one lady, a 73-year-old immigrant from Poland who went to the Capitol. They're treating these people, the Real Housewives of America, like terrorists.
That's a very good point. It really is. I mean, the more stories that we hear, and I know Jim, you know, with the American Gulag website, he has a lot more of the stories compiled, but these are everyday people. These are not people that have criminal histories. A lot of them were veterans. And in fact, I feel like the veterans are the most persecuted. I mean, they treat these people like if you were a veteran, then you have a criminal background. I mean, that's kind of how they've been treating this. And well, it's
a story that we include in the movie that was on Gateway Pundit, that was on Jim's website, about the veteran whose home was raided and his wife like subsequently had a miscarriage that same day or the day after.
Yeah.
And just, you know, this guy's life has been ruined.
Right.
He terrorized his family, and it's appalling.
I'm wondering, guys, do you have any idea how many raids the FBI have conducted? You said you've talked to some people like who just come up to you and admit now that the FBI was at their house. Do we have any idea how many times this happened across America?
I don't know specifically, but I know it's in the hundreds. It's got to be. It's happening in every state. There's a man from my hometown in North Carolina, Sylvan, North Carolina, happened to him. You know, we just talked to so many people. I know it's got to be hundreds.
Never should be happening.
And yeah, again, and then there are the stories that people don't hear about. And Jim and I interviewed a 40-year Navy chaplain, and he was standing on the Capitol steps, and his U.S. representative who knew him saw that he had posted pictures of himself standing on the steps and contacted him and asked him about what he was doing there. And he said he was simply standing on the steps showing his support for Trump. And he asked if he would mind speaking to the FBI just to clear the air and let them know that these were mostly peaceful people. He agreed to do it voluntarily. And after he spoke to the FBI, he was put on a list at the airports, and he was no longer able to freely travel. Every time he traveled at an airport, he was strip searched by the TSA. And then they would follow him to his gate and open his suitcase in front of everyone before he got on the plane to further humiliate him at the airport. Sadly, he died a couple of months ago, but that's how he spent his last, you know, few months on this earth, is being harassed at every single airport because he dared to stand on the steps of the Capitol that day in their imaginary circle.
Wow.
Almost everybody in our film is being treated the same way.
Yeah.
You know, even trying to come to the screening, that, you know, people flying in from other states, same thing. They get a little SSSS thing on their ticket. And the police just ruin their lives. They just make it miserable.
Can you guys tell us a little bit about the screening and the opening?
And now, one thing, Jim. And now it's not just the people who are there that day. Now they're doing it to their children who weren't even there. There's people in the movie who their kids at college are now getting the four S's. So now you're guilty by association to someone that still hasn't had their day in court.
Can you give us an example of that, Chris? Do you have an example of that?
Sure, Dr. Simone Gold.
Wow.
Yeah, she's unable to fly commercially because of the hassle. And now her son tried to fly out for the screening, and they did it to him.
So he's also on a list because of his mom.
Just because he's related to it.
That's complete totalitarianism.
Yeah.
Something exactly we'd see in some Marxist state or expect in Cuba, but not America.
Exactly. Your father said something mean about Stalin, so now we're gonna persecute your entire family. Right.
Ugh. God help us.
And what's frightening is you have people in the movie that were born in communist countries, and they're more scared than we are because they left that. It's here now, and they recognize it because they've lived it before.
Yeah. Right. So when is the screening of your movie? Are you going to have a screening in LA, Nick, or what's the plan for the opening of the movie?
Well, the big opening is Thanksgiving Day, and it's capitalthemovie.com. We're not really doing a theatrical release because, you know, Democrats have ruined everything, including going to the movies. So nobody goes, and, you know, and it's much, what we've tried to do is build a way so that our audience has direct access to the film, and it doesn't have to go through a Hollywood gatekeeper. You don't have to ask anybody's permission. You just watch the film that day or the day after at capitalpunishmentthemovie.com. The screenings that we've been doing, by and large, we've been doing them more or less as benefits for the people that are being persecuted in the film. It's not really part of the marketing strategy. It's just stuff that we're doing to try to help the families.
Wow, terrific.
Yeah, so anything that Jim and I can do to help too to promote the movie, we're happy to do that. Obviously, we're asking people to, we've been scrolling the link to capitalpunishmentmovie.com across the bottom of the screen. You're accepting pre-orders right now for the movie. The movie will be opening on Thanksgiving Day. I think it's the perfect movie to show to the whole family, regardless of their political affiliation. Right. I mean, we are all Americans, right? And every American should see this movie. And I honestly mean that. You know what? It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican or independent. We're all Americans, and we're losing our freedoms. And people need to see this movie. I think it's really important.
We've said over and over again, if I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, look at what is being done to these fellow citizens of yours, and do you think this is right? That's really the heart of the matter. It's not whether or not the election was stolen. That's not what this movie is about. This movie is about, do you think this is fair for the United States government to treat these people this way?
Right, because, I mean, it just takes you to imagine for 1 second if this was happening under Trump and it was reversed and these were Black Lives Matter and Antifa prisoners that were being held in Washington, D.C., how long would they be held in a prison there under these conditions? It would never happen.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
No.
Well, thank you guys so much for giving us a little bit of your time. We'll definitely be promoting the movie, and thank you for putting together this project. It's so important. So, and for giving us hope.
Absolutely. And anything that we can do to help you, let us know, please.
Just spread the word. It's like the great Coy Griffin says in the movie. He says, the way we fight back is by what we're doing right now, by not being afraid and bringing the truth to light.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us, both of you. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
This is treason.
Please move. Officer, I can't breathe.
I can't even.
When there's nowhere else to run, is there room for one more sun? One more sun.
Dominic Searcy. On January 6, 2021, I went to Washington, D.C., along with multitudes of other Americans, because we believed that the election was stolen. I saw with my own eyes what happened that day. And what they show you on the media doesn't tell half the story.
Here's the Capitol, and here's people going in there. They didn't show all of this out here.
I saw people of all colors, races, creeds, Asian Americans for Trump, blacks for Trump. I even saw a guy wearing a shirt that said fags for Trump. And since I'm from California, I knew that guy.
We're from Iowa.
Nashville, Tennessee.
And I'm here standing with my fellow patriots. We all standing for America.
Despite what the media tells you, boots on ground definitely say something different. There is a sea of nothing but red, white, and blue patriots.
These are damn working people. They want their country back.
We're marching for the Constitution. We're not. It ain't really about Trump. It's about us now. They're attacking us, and we're tired of it.
We had a foreign attack. They had domestic support.
This is about individual liberty. We don't believe the media. We don't believe you. We have no faith in our institutions.
The FBI is now being sent out by Joe Biden to punish people.
We're at war.
They're hunting down Trump supporters like dogs.
Let me say that again. We're at war.
147 days since my wife was murdered and executed.
The FBI, you have a federal search warrant for the property. Come out with your
I step out, I have red dots all over my chest.
They broke the door down. Hands up, put your hands on the wall, hands up!
I was in jail for 4 straight days. I kept banging on the door saying I had never had a phone call.
The sixth was all deception.
The level of sophistication and tactic is immense.
I see people from Portland here,
I was paid to pretend to protest.
We need to come together as Americans again and remember why we started this country.
An insurrection? Without arms? What are they talking about? And why are they lying?